there's a reason why we rightly divide the word of truth. And it does make us a little bit unique as a church. It makes us kind of out from the other religions out there. But it is based upon your conviction of realizing that rightly dividing the word of truth is a way to handle the word of truth. And so, consequently, the message today is just a small part of why we rightly divide the word of truth. Like I said, it's a small part. And it'll give you a little insight as to when you rightly divide the word of truth, how there are differences. Because today, folks, quite honestly, people do not know nor see the difference in the ministry of Jesus Christ or Peter from Paul's ministry. They lump them all together. So I want to just cover something that shows you that there's got to be a difference there when you see this. In Matthew 28, after the Lord had been crucified, buried, and raised up, he met with the 11. And so this is an account of his meeting with them. In Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now watch what he tells them. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So consequently, he's telling them to go teach. Teaching all nations. What do they teach? Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded them. Well, when did he command them? Well, the answer, he commanded them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when they were present. The accounts are given there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we have the beginning of the ministry of Christ. He had his disciples there unto his death, his burial, and then his resurrection where he met with them before he ascended up. So then he tells them to teach, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So they're to go out and teach. Well, my focus this morning is going to be on Peter, and there'll be a couple others I'll throw in there, but basically Peter and Paul and the difference there. So we see that Peter and the rest of the disciples, but Peter in particular, is to be a teacher. Why? Well, he says, teach all nations. What? Teaching them. Well, what does a teacher do? They teach. So he's to be a teacher. Also, if you look over in 2 Timothy with me, look over in 2 Timothy, and we'll look at Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a what? Teacher of the Gentiles." So then I see Peter and Paul as teachers that will go out and teach. So both of these men we're going to consider. Now, in teaching, Peter had a doctrine that he taught. He was raised up with the Lord, and the Lord taught them. And so the Lord commands them to go out and teach all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and it's during this period of time. And so Peter goes out there and begins preaching. Look in Acts chapter 2. This is the so-called great Pentecostal address. There's absolutely nothing great about it if you and I couldn't be saved by it, and we can't. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And you know what he's fixing to do? He's fixing to do some teaching. And then he begins to speak on. And he says, what took place prior to this, he's addressing. So in verse 16, he says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he quotes Joel, preaching. Now, I want you to understand something. We come pretty well equipped with preconceived ideas. When Peter stood up to speak, he didn't say, "I want to address something here, so if you would, turn in your Bibles to Joel." And so they turn to Joel, and he begins reading out of it. That's what goes on today. Men open the Bible like I did. Turn to. Peter didn't do that. Peter got up and began preaching out of Joel. And this is absolutely amazing to me, that this man had no book with him and just started preaching. And he goes on a tear from that point on. And he starts preaching, quoting Joel. Matter of fact, later, and we're just avoiding reading a whole lot, you can go back and check me out. He quotes David, so he's preaching out of the Psalms. So he preaches out of Joel, he preaches out of Psalms, and he's just going like a house of fire, just tearing it up. And he doesn't have any scripture with him. He's not reading out of anything, he's preaching. Now, as I said, this amazes me. It amazes me due to the fact of what is written in Acts chapter 4, so turn there. Peter and John had been preaching to the rulers, the elders, and the scribes. And preaching about who else? Jesus Christ. That's who they were preaching about. So we're going to skip their preaching to these men. Just suffice it to say, that's what they were preaching. That's who they were preaching to about Jesus Christ. Now, after they finished preaching to these men, read verse 13. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, now watch, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were unlearned and ignorant men, meaning they had no formal education. These were not scholars of the law, and the Lord said, come and follow me back here. He didn't go to Peter and say, you've learned much of Moses, you come and follow me. He didn't say, John, you learned a lot about the law, come and follow me. These were ignorant men with no formal education. And Peter stands up in Acts chapter 2 and just starts preaching without a Bible in his hand? You don't think that's not amazing? How in the world could this man do that? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's based on a promise Jesus Christ gave to him. Look in John chapter 14. In John 14, verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now we're going to skip some and go down to verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. What's the comforter, folks?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Now watch what he's going to do. Whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So then in Acts chapter 1, the apostles are gathered there. The Holy Ghost falls on them. They all speak in other tongues. And the Jews that was around them, hearing them speak in other languages, said, these men are drunken with wine. And Peter stands up, he said, these men aren't drunken with wine as you suppose, for it's the ninth hour of the day. In other words, third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're speaking in other languages. They had the baptism of the Holy Ghost as promised in John chapter 14. That's the comforter. Who is the comforter? The Holy Ghost. What's he going to do? He's going to teach them so that they can teach. And then he's going to bring into all things the remembrance of all things that he taught them back here. Why? They're ignorant and unlearned men, and they couldn't retain all that he taught back here. So consequently, they are supernaturally empowered to preach by the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So Peter gets up there and preaches. He doesn't know what he's preaching. He's not going, let me prepare a message here. He gets up there and boom, it just goes. It just, like I said, a house of fire. So let's look at something that Peter preached. Go back to Acts chapter 3. Jesus Christ, after he met with them, the Holy Ghost, he met with them, then he ascended up. The Holy Ghost fills those men. And Peter begins to preach, as we read here in Acts chapter 2, based upon the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. And folks, you can bet your bottom dollar, everything from the, when he got the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, every word he preached was inspired by God Almighty. Wasn't nothing of himself, wasn't any false doctrine. What he taught, God instructed him, and he preached it. Acts 3, verse 19. He says, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Well, then I know that Jesus Christ then is going to return, and so did Peter. He didn't know when. He's expecting the Lord to come back right here. I mean, just in the near future, the Lord is to appear. We know now that it's sometime out here in the future the Lord's going to return. And when he returns, Peter said, your sins would be blotted out when the Lord returns. Inspired? You betcha. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The sins will be blotted out. Therefore, Peter could, now watch, at this time, he could claim salvation based upon knowing, not thinking, knowing that his sins would be blotted out over here. He knows that he's going to wind up with salvation over here. When the Lord returns, sins are blotted out. Now, Paul, and you just have to skip so much to do this, but Paul gets raised up, the Apostle Paul. He gets saved, begins a ministry of preaching. So we're going to stick the dispensation of grace right in here. Begun with Paul. We read earlier, Paul's a teacher. Remember, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 or whatever it was? He's a teacher. Peter's a teacher. With that said, where do I want to go? Paul says, 2 Timothy, real quick, preach the word. Preach the word. That's what Paul did. Preach the word. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. And I might need you to hold Galatians chapter 2. For this cause, at this time, the only script writings that were available to these men were Old Testament, Moses' law, and the writings of the prophet. Peter did not read out of 1st and 2nd Peter, because it wasn't written. John didn't read out of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, because it wasn't written. They didn't read out of Hebrews, because it wasn't written. They're just preaching based upon the Holy Ghost inspiring them to say what they're saying. They're getting up there, and they just preach whole Galatians and turn to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, look in verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So back here, they lack wisdom, ask. You know what that set, that word ask is set in contrast to concerning Paul's ministry? Paul said, study. They ain't the same. You want the answer? You study. These men needed wisdom? They asked. Why? They didn't have a completed book to go to. So as the assemblies were out there, if any lack wisdom, then ask of the Lord. And by the Holy Ghost, they would be given that understanding. Why? They're to teach. They're not the same. Asking is not the same as studying. And we'll even get into something a little further to prove that. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Now, Paul gets raised up. He's a teacher. Peter's a teacher. He gets raised up. He begins his ministry. In Paul's ministry, some Gentiles are saved. I'll just leave it at that. The Jews had some issues about that. Peter has some issues about that. So Peter and Paul have the first Bible conference ever held. And it's recorded in Galatians chapter 2. They're going to meet. Now watch this. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they, and we're going to see who the they are. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now watch this. And when James, Cephas, and that's Peter, his name is changed there because it means the rock. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, watch, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, unto the circumcision. But when James, John, and Cephas, Peter, perceived the grace that was given to me, they came to an agreement. Now here's the thing that's so confusing. Peter has the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, and Paul's out there preaching to these Gentiles and did not know how in the world could Paul preach to Gentiles. I mean, come on. He had the power of the Holy Ghost to quote Joel, Psalm, and if they lacked any wisdom, all they had to do was ask, according to James 1:5. But he had to meet with Paul, and Paul had to preach to him the grace that was given unto him. And it says they perceived that grace. You understand that Paul's ministry being a mystery, and the fact that Peter had the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, to bring all things into remembrance and to teach them all things, did not empower them to have one inkling of Paul's ministry. They did not know one thing of Paul's ministry. And yet you got preachers today that got all this stuff crossed up. But no wonder the world's in a mess. Wonder they don't have any understanding of the Bible. No wonder people are so frustrated and say, I just don't believe that Bible. It's so confusing. No, the man that don't rightly divide it is confusing. God got it laid out. And what you're to do and you're admonished and charged to do, and it is my responsibility, is to take the ministry of Paul and segregate it. That's right. Segregate it from all the other ministries. Peter, with the power of the Holy Ghost, being supernaturally endued with that, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, didn't know a thing of Paul's ministry and had to go to Paul and be explained by Paul to him so that he could perceive the grace that was given unto him. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It is, I can't express to you the importance of it so you can have an understanding of this Bible. And this is just an absolute small part of it to see the difference that exists at that time. Now, I said earlier, we read Acts 3:19. Peter said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So Peter knew there was going to come a time when the Lord would return, and when he does, they're going into that kingdom having their sins blotted out. Now, Peter meets with Paul. Did Paul convey the message of grace to Peter? Then, what did Paul preach? The gospel of Christ. Did Peter perceive that gospel? Yeah, thank you. Well, y'all are smart. Well, when Peter saw it, it says he gave to Peter and Paul the right hand of fellowship. In other words, brother, we're in agreement on this. I see what you have. Then did Peter believe that Paul's gospel was of God? Absolutely. Therefore, just because Peter believed it, was he put into the body?
No.
Let me ask you something. How many of you in here are saved? Raise your hand. I am not going to do this to embarrass anybody. No joking here. Donald, you raise your hand. We didn't rehearse this. You said you're saved. How'd you get saved?
By trusting in Jesus Christ.
Why did you trust?
Because I finally realized if I didn't, I was in serious trouble. And once I seen what he had done, then I took care of the problem I had with no salvation.
Okay. So, you had the need of salvation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not trying to guide this anywhere. You had a need for salvation. You heard the message of Christ dying for your sins. You trusted in it and got saved, right? Any addition to that?
No.
Just that in the shell. Okay.
Adam needs to care of it.
Now, this would apply to all of you that raise your hand. The exact same communication that Donald and I have. Just go. Whoever raised their hand, I'm asking you the same thing. I had a need for salvation. I trusted Christ. 1980, believing he died for my sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and was saved in 1980. When Peter met with Paul and perceived the grace that Paul had, which has to do with the gospel, you can't get around it, was Peter put into the body because he heard it and believed it?
No.
Peter believed it, but there was no reason for him to trust in it like Donald did, or I did, or you that raised your hand. Why? Acts 3:19, for the Lord shall descend from heaven. He'll come down onto this earth. He'll be returning to this earth. And when he does, their sins would be blotted out. He had the salvation. So when he believed, he's not believing like, I believe on you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you died for my sins. He's believing in a right hand of fellowship shake, that what you got of the Lord. What we got of the Lord. And we'll go our ways under that agreement. He believed it in that regard. Just because you know the gospel don't get you saved. We may have someone in here. You know the gospel. You can repeat it. Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again. You can write a song about it. But you've never trusted in Jesus Christ. You're lost. There's going to be a lot of people in hell that knows that Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And you know what the insult to those people are? Not the fact that they're apart from God for all eternity. The true insult is God's going to make them kneel down and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So why don't you do it right now instead of waiting? So you can go up and be with him. Knowing the gospel is not sufficient. You have to see that there's a need in your life to be delivered. Did you know to be saved means that? It means to be delivered. It literally means to be rescued. You see yourself in a hopeless state of being rescued, needing rescue? That's where you have to see yourself, folks. That's where you have to see yourself. And when you see yourself in that position, there ain't but one out according to God in this world, and that's to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trust in him, folks, we ain't waiting for a future forgiveness. You know what's different from Peter and Paul? We got forgiveness right here, right now. I'm not waiting for any time. Hopefully my sins will be... They're forgiven. These two ministries are not the same. Don't let preachers get them crossed up on you because they're out there by the score. You separate them and all of a sudden answers finally come about instead of confusion and questions which gender strife. That's why you got so much strife. These two things are not the same. Peter and all of those, and it goes back to the Old Testament, are promised a kingdom. And in that promise, they're going to go into that kingdom, and their sins will be blotted out. He'll forgive their sins. Therefore, these that died in faith back here, believing that there would be a Messiah that's been prophesied, come to deliver them. So they died. According to Ezekiel, I want to say it's 34, I'm not sure. God takes Ezekiel and gives him a vision of these bones coming right up out the ground. That's got to be frightening. You sit there and don't do anything. It's like, could you imagine you're standing there and bones of a person come up out the ground? Then all of a sudden they start putting on muscle and tissue and sinew, and they're a person. And God said, you know who these are, Ezekiel? He said, no. He said, this is the whole house of Israel. You know why they're getting raised up? Because they're going to be raised up, born again. I love doing that. They're going to be born again, and they're going to hit the highways, walk right into this kingdom, and 10 men out of every nation will grab the skirt of him that's called a Jew and say, we're going with you. We hear God is with you. And both those Jews, the whole house of Israel, these back here are going to go into that kingdom with those Gentiles, and the sins will be blotted out at that time. And that's their hope, folks. So there was no reason for Peter to trust in Paul's gospel. He heard it, he believed it, but he didn't have to trust in it. Why? He had the hope of forgiveness here, along with the rest of all Israel. And guess what? When they're marching on in down that road, you can go back and read this stuff, it's in there. And those Gentiles are grabbing hold of them to go into that kingdom. Do you know what song they'll be singing? Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. I won't be in that number. Because we're not marching in, we're marching up. We're going to leave out of here, folks. And we're going to go be in our kingdom where God promised us for all eternity. Amen, it's true. So there's a huge chasm of difference in these ministries. And the most important thing for anybody here is to know that you're part of the body of Christ. How's that? Paul said in Ephesians 3:6 that you're made part of the body by the gospel. The good news that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? If you haven't, do so right now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Why would you put such a lovely, wonderful gift of eternal life off? There's no reason to. trust in Him right now if you've never done that. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this time and the beautiful revelation You've granted unto Paul that we can read and see and rejoice in.